Dear Lord, we now be able to remember your name, form, and qualities due to stumbling, hunger, falling down, yawning, or being in a miserable disease condition at the time of death, when there is high fever. We therefore pray unto you, O Lord, for you are very affectionate to your devotees. Please help us remember you and utter your holy name, attributes, and activities which can dispel all the reaction of our sinful lives. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The real success in life is Ante Narayana Smriti, remembering the holy name, attributes, activities, and form of the Lord at the time of death. Although we may be engaged in the Lord devotional service in the temple, material conditions are so tough and inevitable that we may forget the Lord at the time of death due to disease condition or mental derangements. Therefore, we should pray to the Lord to be able to remember his lotus feet without fail at the time of death when we are in such a precarious condition. In this regard, one may also see Srimad Bhagavatam 6, 2, 9, 10, and 14, and 15. I bought the book with me so we can read it together. Continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, text 9 and 10. Ajamil delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief of gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relatives, for one who kills a brahmana, or for one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders women, the king, or his father, for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers. This is the Lord speaking. Because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. And then text 14 and 15. One who chants, it says 14, 15, yes. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately free from the reaction of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, jokingly, for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully. This is accepted by all learned scholars of the scriptures. Text 15. Translation. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of accidental misfortune, such as falling down from the top of a house, sleeping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. Purport by Srila Prabhupada is very short. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Yam Yam Vapin Smaram Bhavan, Tyajadante Kalevaram, Tantam Mevati Konteya, Sadatat Bhava Bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. If one practices chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he's naturally expected to chant Hare Krishna when he meet with some accident. Even without such practice, however, if one somehow or another chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, Hare Krishna, when he meet with an accident and dies, he will be saved from the hellish life after death. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshulam Nidam Nidatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Madhijapata Kaswami Niti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Madhibhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prachanine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastattade Sattarine Vancha Kalpa Karubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Shri Gaur Bhattavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before I make an attempt to speak a few words on this very important slogan, I request the blessing of all assembled Vaishnavas, especially the senior one, who can always teach all of us a lot of nice things. So in this particular passage of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about the ultimate test of life. I was listening the other day to one Srila Prabhupada lecture on the Bhagavad Gita, I believe. And he said, there is a Bengali slogan, we say, Bhajan Koro, Bhojan Koro, and I don't remember the continuation of that slogan, but it says that, okay, you can eat a lot of Mahaprasadam, and you can do a lot of bhajans, but then in the end of your life, if you are not able to remember Krishna, then you fail the exams. Of course, it says that whoever is dedicated his life in the service of Lord Krishna, even though he forgets Lord Krishna at that moment, due to some unavoidable circumstances, like we say, mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, due to accident or falling down or some unknown situation, then the Lord will remember that devotee, because he has performed with sincerity, with seriousness, devotional service to please the Lord. So the Lord will remember that devotee and it will bring him back home, back to Godhead. Of course, a nice prayers come to my mind when I read this about death is that Kulashekar Alwa. Srila Prabhupada was very fond of singing these prayers of Kulashekar, King Kulashekar, who is no other than one of the Alwars of South India. So he is the only king who appeared to renounce everything and taking shelter of Ranganath Swami in Sri Rangam. So this is a famous prayer, which of course has been sung, Krishna Tadiya Padapankaja Pankarantam, and then it goes on. The translation is, O Lord Krishna, at this moment, let the royal swan of my mind enter the tangled stems of the lotus of your feet. How will it be possible for me to remember you at the time of death, when my throat will be choked up with mucus, bile, and air? So in this particular place, of course, Kulashekar always praying to the Lord that while I am well and sound and my mind is okay, please take me back home, back to Godhead. Because I do not know when, at the moment of death, whether I will be able to remember you. So death is a very important portion of our life. My personal experience, I remember my first experience with death was when I was a child, maybe I was age 10 years old, and every year we go to the beach in Rome with a family, we spend some time there. So one morning I was playing the beach. I was playing football with my brother and my uncle. And then certainly I felt warm in my feet. And I didn't give notice because it was hot, there was sand. But my uncle came and grabbed me and took me away and said, what happened, what happened? He said, look at your feet. And my feet was full of blood. I had a cut which was about 2 inches long. I said, how it happened? He said, I don't know, maybe there was a bottle of glass inside the sand. While running, I stepped on it, and I cut my feet. And so it was not painful, but my uncle took me all the way to the hospital. In 10 minutes we were there. And when we reached the hospital, immediately they bandaged my feet. He said, wait for a few minutes here. And in front of me, where I was sitting, there was a table with a very beautiful girl, blonde. She looked like an angel. And I said, what happened to her? And then medical doctor said, she's dead. I said, what? How can that be? She's dead. How she died? She drowned in the ocean. And I was very shocked. Immediately a flash came to my mind. I could see this girl. She's so beautiful. And I thought, this girl would have grown up. She would have become a mother. She would have bear children. She would have become old. But then certainly at one point, death has come and taken everything away. And I thought, who is the person who is controlling this? Who is the person who can take away life? I was only 10 years old. But I was thinking, how is cruel such a person to take away the life of such a beautiful girl? So I was very shocked. And eventually the doctor stitched my feet and I went back to play. And I forgot about it. But this was in the back of my mind. And I was thinking always, life is so dangerous. You know, any moment, any time, people can die. And I was thinking, how funny it is that everybody goes on enjoying life, thinking it's so wonderful and everything is nice. And at one time, I remember asking my grandfather, Nonno Luigi, I asked him, grandfather, what is death? What is happening? People are dying. He said, hey, don't bother. Just go and enjoy life. You're a young boy. There's so many beautiful girls. There's so many nice things to eat. So why are you worrying about death? That will come when you're old. Don't worry, don't worry. And I was thinking, what? Death is going to come for sure. And of course, comes to my mind, I remember in the past times, how the Pandavas. The Pandavas were traveling in the forest, and they were very, very thirsty. So Arjuna went on top of the tree. I saw far away there was a lake. And they say, wow, there's a lake down there. So then Maharaj Yudhisthira sent one by one, okay, go and fetch some water so we will all drink and we will quench our thirst. Now, I don't remember who went first, but, you know, maybe Bhima went first. I don't remember who went. On Nakula and Sahadeva, they all went, and as they approached the river, this pond, this lake, they were so thirsty that they just dived to drink water themselves and first. And then they thought, I will bring back some. But the voice came and said, hey, don't touch the water. If you touch this water without answering my question, you will die. So I thought, who is this? Some ghost, some boot, some pisacha. Who cares? Let me drink. I'm so thirsty. And as he drank, he fell unconscious and died. Then was Sahadev. Nakul came. He saw his brother dead. He said, what's happening? How can it be? But he was so thirsty. He couldn't control. And he went and drank. The same voice came. Hey, don't drink this water. First answer my question, then you can drink. Otherwise you'll die like your brother. Yeah, who cares? I'm so thirsty, you know, I couldn't heal anything. He just went and drank. And as he drank, he also collapsed dead. So all the five brothers, finally Arjuna went and he saw all his brother dead. And he thought, how is it possible? But he was so thirsty, he also drank. Then Maharaj Yudhisthira came. Maharaj Yudhisthira saw the other four brothers dead. What's going on? The voice came. And he said, you don't want to die like your brother. Best you answer my questions. Then you can drink water. And he was a wise person. He said, well, let me answer this person whoever it is, is very powerful. All my brothers are being not defeated by by Duryodhan and all his army, and the Gandharvas Rakshasa, they couldn't kill him. But this person killed him. Who is it? I don't know. But let me be wise. Let me answer his question. And one famous question is it, how is it, what is the most wonderful things in this world? And he said, the most wonderful things in this world is we see everybody else dying, but we think we are not going to die. And then that was very successful. The person came out, he was Yamaraj himself, and he granted a boon. He said, I'll give you a boon, and the story goes on. But this is just to elucidate how death is gonna come. And all of us, no one is thinking I'm going to die. No one is thinking I'm prepared, I'm ready. Everybody think, oh yeah, you know, I have another 20 years to go, you know. So let me play a little bit, let me enjoy some time, let me have fun. But Srila Prabhupada explained, unless we are 100% convinced that in this material world there is no enjoyment, we won't be able to go back home, back to Godhead. Dukala yama saswatan, this material world is full of suffering. There's no question about. People that think they're going to live here forever, they're building big, big skyscraper, they're building everything so wonderful, so nice, but then at one moment, death will come and take away everything. So, the Acharya, they give us immortality. What is immortality? Immortality means devotional service. By performing devotional service, we can become immortal. How? By being situated in devotional service to the Lord. The Lord will take us back home, back to the spiritual world. So the Acharya, in our Sampradayas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come, has made this process so easy for the people of Kali Yuga. That simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, even if some people chant jokingly, even if some people say, huh, look at these Hare Krishna people, they're chanting, disturbing everybody. But because they say Hare Krishna, they'll get some benefit. So this chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it's very, very powerful process by which we can become purified, and then we can become qualified to enter back home, back to the spiritual world where we belong. Now, if we look at the other sampradayas, I don't want to criticize anybody, but if we look, you know, there is Madhava Sampradaya, there is Sri Sampradaya, all the other sampradayas, they don't have this process. They have a process of meditation, they have a process of worship, but out of millions of people, who can worship the Lord every day with meditation, absorbing themselves and remembering Krishna? Very few people. Everybody is absorbed in family affair, marriages, and everybody is fearful now of even losing his job. So it is very difficult process for people to become uplifted to the spiritual platform, even though they have knowledge. See, Ramanujacharya was the epitome of chanting of the holy name of the Lord. When his guru told him that I'll give you this mantra, you don't tell anybody, because by this mantra you become liberated. He went on the tower of the temple, he called all the people, and he chant the name of Narayanam. He made everybody chant. Please chant the name of Narayanam, so you will become blissful. You'll forget all your problems, you'll go back home, back to God. But now, we can see, you know, people worship in the temple. So in different yuga, there are different processes. Krite yadayado vishnu, titato jadato makai, dvapari paricharyaram, kalodadari kirtanat. In Kali Yuga, Hari Kirtan is the only way by which people can get some sanity, can get some balance, they can get some understanding what we are here for, where we're going, where we come from, and what is the process of self-realization. So even 500 years ago, Haridasa Thakur was expounding this philosophy, and one Brahmana became so upset. He said, what? What are you talking about? Simply by Namabhas, people can get liberation? He said, yes. Simply by chanting Namabhas, people will get liberation. And that Brahmana, he cursed Haridasa Thakur. Your nose will fall off. What you say is not true. Haridasa Thakur didn't mind whatever you say, you know. But then what happened to the Brahmana? After a few days, his nose fall off. He commit offense. So this chanting is so powerful. Now, chanting is so powerful, so we must dedicate the best time of our day for chanting. See, we can do so many things and chant. We can drive the car and scooter and chant. We can read the newspaper and chant. We can eat prasadam and chant. We can walk this and chant. But no, the process of pure chanting is that we must dedicate this time, the best time of our day, for chanting this holy name of the Lord. Why? Because if we do that, number one, the Lord will be pleased. Number two, the purification will be very fast. And number three, our mind becomes very peaceful all day. I remember in my early days of Krishna consciousness, I was a driver for the Sankirtan party, and I was always in anxiety, when will I finish my round? Because, yeah, you can drive and chant, no problem, but it's not the same. So one must practice this chanting and absorbing in hearing this holy name. And of course, the best time is Brahma Muhurtam, before 1.5 hours before the sunrise. If we can dedicate that time for chanting purely, because that time the mind is not disturbed, everything is peaceful, everything is in the mood of goodness. So we can chant at the time, the effect will be very, very quick. Otherwise, we will be influenced by the three modes of material nature. No? These three modes of material nature, no one can escape. They are working on everybody. The mood of goodness, the mood of passion, the mood of ignorance. So, even though we are trying to be Krishna conscious, but when we are influenced by the three modes of material nature, it's like we are trying to swim against the current. There's a beautiful Ganges, every day we take bath here, and it's flowing towards Calcutta. So sometimes we swim against the current. Okay, it's good exercise. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, and phew, we are in the same place, swimming for 5 minutes. And if we get a little more tired, we get carried away. So we don't have to struggle like that. We can actually be situated in the mood of goodness. But these are different steps, elevation, gradual elevation to Krishna consciousness. These are the different steps. Although we can start Krishna consciousness from any platform, whether we are, you know, in a mood of ignorance, in a mood of passion, whether we're doing this or that. Even the most sinful people, we read from Srimad Bhagavatam, even people kill, slaughter cows, or having the most abominable activity. If they situate themselves in devotional service, they can be saved from all this trouble, from all this adhyatmika, adibodhika, adidevika, the suffering inflicted by Durga Devi with a trident, you know, on everybody. So we want people to be happy, and people want to be happy, but how? The question is how? Everybody wants to be happy. And we see so many people trying to become happy in so many different ways. Some people take shelter of money, Lakshmi Devi. They think, oh, I come to Mayapur, I build one nice building, I'll become a crorapati, I put few crores in the bank, I'll be happy. I can do bhajan. There's no problem. But then in the process of making the crores, they're cheating so many people get upset, so many things happen. and they forget Krishna. So, and then, what's the point? One must surrender to Krishna. Saranagati. Those who surrender to Krishna, then all the difficulty Krishna takes away. And even the small difficulties there, they're minimized. So Saranagati means complete surrender, to take shelter. And this morning I was telling to my friend who is taking a quick nap, I was telling that there is a say that man propose and God dispose. But actually it's the opposite. God propose himself. He comes with the Bhagavad Gita, he comes in the forms. You know, we see Balaji, his form is like this. He say, come, come, surrender to my lotus feet. I'll keep you with me. Don't worry. Relax. Sarva dharmam paritya jam, amekam saranam vraja. He comes, Jesus Christ. So many different people come, so many acharya, everybody's preaching about God. But God propose himself. But man, dispose. I'm not interested. I'm very busy now. I had to take care of my family, I had to make some money. Give me some time, you know. Can you see? So, this proverb, man propose, God dispose, we should change it actually. God propose himself so much, but man dispose. No, 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 no. I'm not ready for this surrender. I had to enjoy. I had to go so many things. Srila Prabhupada explained that, for example, people have desire to go and visit so many places. We see again and again advertisements. 7,777 flight to Singapore return. Wow, wonderful, nice. Yeah, it's cheaper than going to Bombay. So let's go to Singapore and see. Deko, deko, chalo, deko. In Bengali they say. Bengali people travel all over India, everywhere. Bangladesh, Nepal. You can find Bengali people everywhere because they like to go and see. Chalo deko, let's go and see, let's go and see. They're very interested. But Srila Prabhupada say you go 3 times around Radha Madhava temple and then your wanderlust is gone. That means you have no desire to go and see anything. What else you want to see? The beautiful form of the Lord is there. Radha Madhava, Panchatattva. They're calling us every day. Are we ready? Are we ready to go? Are we ready to live with the Lord? Are we detached? We have to prepare ourselves. So the Lord is calling us. And He's so merciful that even the most worst, wretched person who killed a Brahmana, who killed his parents, who does the most abominable things, if that person chant once Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then the Lord thinks what? Oh, I must take care of him. He has chanted my name. How merciful is the Lord? Who can understand? Putana wanted to kill Krishna, smear breast with poison. Her intention was not to love Krishna, her intention was to kill Krishna. But what position she attained? As the mother of Krishna. So Krishna is such a wonderful personality. He takes always the good aspect of everything, of everybody. Ah, no problem. And there is a small story from Vishnu Purana that some thief, I think I told already, that they went and steal in a Vishnu temple. And while they were going, they entered the temple. Their feet was full of mud. They went through the rice field. So after stealing all the booty, one bell fell down. The chokidar got up. And all the people came, they got beaten up and they died. And then they went to Yamaraj. Yamaraj said, okay, Chitragupta has a big, thick book. He said, this guy, my God, it takes a long time to read all the wrong thing they did. But immediately the Vishnu dude appeared saying, wait. He said, what happened? He said, you cannot take these people. I said, why? They're sinful. Look here, there's so much. Dude, we can write the worse than the Bhagavatam, what these people they didn't do. They did so many crimes, so many nonsense. He said, yes. But while entering the temple of Lord Vishnu, with their feet, there was a little crack in the marble. with the mud, the clay in their feet, to close that clay, that gap. Therefore, for our Lord, this is considered maintaining the temple of Vishnu. That is some service for our Lord. They qualify to go back to Vaikuntha. The thief themselves are shocked. What? We? Vaikuntha? They put them in an airplane. Chalo, let's go. So how merciful is Krishna? Who can understand? So the Lord is so wonderful. He's so beautiful. He's so attractive. And he's eager for us to go back home. He's not thinking, oh, unless you worship me with the Shruti, with the mantra, unless you know perfectly all these things, you won't be able to come. No, the Lord is so merciful. Our simple attempt to become servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, that's sufficient for us to go back home, back to Godhead. Because the Lord says that whoever serves me is very dear to me. Whoever offers water to Tulsi is very dear to me. Whoever takes darshan and pay obeisance to me is not different from myself. That's the Lord's claim. He is the supreme powerful. He can do whatever he wants. No one can stop him. No one can say, even Yamaraj say, no, 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 you cannot take these people. He say, no, I'll take these people. So we must become sincere and serious about devotional service. Now, this story doesn't mean that we take for granted, okay, let me go and drink some whiskey and watch television all day and smoke some joint, and doesn't matter, the Lord is merciful, take me back. No. Yeah, we have to be sincere and serious. Srila Prabhupada explained, once we have embarked in this path of devotional service, we must become very sincere and very serious of what we are doing. What the Lord is taking is not taking the activity which we are performing, but it's taking the mood by which we are performing those activities. Yeah. You know very well the story of the Brahman and the prostitute. They were living in the same road. The prostitute was thinking, oh, such a nice pure Brahmanas. Every day is worshipping the Lord. How fortunate he is. He's so blessed. And the Brahmana was looking at the prophet thinking, what a wretched soul, she is prostitute. Look here, this is the fourth customer. What kind of prostitute, this, that. He's meditating on the prostitute. And the prostitute, she's meditating on the Brahmanas. And when they both die, she goes back to God, he goes to hell. And he said, what's the problem? I am a Brahmana. I was chanting, I was worshipping. And Yamaraj said, yes, but you did a small mistake. And said, what's that? You're meditating all your life on this prostitute. Therefore, you take all the reaction of this prostitute upon yourself. And the prostitute, she say, I'm going back to God that I'm a prostitute. Yeah, but you are meditating all your life on this good quality of this Brahmanas. Therefore, you take all the result of this pious activity, whatever is supposed to have done. So what we think, what we do, you know, that's very important. The mood that we're worshipping Krishna. And we can put a robot there. We can create a machine. Yeah? There are so many robotic machines now. You go in this company where manufacture car or motorbike, everything has arm. All the parts are fixed by the machine. There is a robot, there is a nice things. The car moves from one stage to next stage, the next stage, it gets painted. Finally, the car is complete. There is no man tidying and doing anything. Everything is by robots, robotics, computerized program. So nice. So why don't we make one nice computer program, we can put the pujari there. Three times, seven times. Perfect. Is the robot going to go back to Godhead? Maybe the guy who programs the computer. So, same thing. You know, we had to perform devotional service with a heart, with a devotion in our heart. My dear Lord, we are worshiping you. We are watching on behalf of our guru, our parampara, so they may become pleased with us, your servant. It's very personal. I remember I was in Chennai. I was there for some time. And in Parthasarathi temple, when they open the curtains of the deity, they have an elephant facing the deity and the cow, the backside of the cow. The Lord sees the cow and the elephant, very auspicious sight. And there is two line of brahmanas who chant the prayers for pleasing the Lord. And there is one Gitacharya, is there every day, goes and tell, my dear Lord, in this particular day you did perform this particular pastimes, you killed so many demons in this Vrindava, in this particular place, in Vaikuntha, in this part, he's describing everything in Sanskrit, then he's saying in the end, please consider us your servant or the servant of the servant, so we can be engaged in your devotional service. That's a nice mood, it's very personal. So similarly, sometimes the tendency for us as devotees is that we can become impersonal. We can become mechanical. We can go to Mangalarti, we can see the deity, and somebody asks you, what dress color the deity was there? I don't know, I go in every day, but I don't remember. Was red color? Yeah, yes, it was a guy, it was a red color. So, you know, we actually had to become conscious. We had to become absorbed in this beautiful form of the Lord. We had to become absorbed in the chanting of the Holy Name. We had to become absorbed in the service of the devotees, in the service of the Holy Dhamma. Then we'll be protected by the Lord. It is very simple. It is very joyfully performed. Lord Krishna explained, Raja Vidya Rajakuyam Pavitram Midam Uttamam. This is the topmost knowledge. We can become PhD in philosophy, we can get so many degrees, we can get so many things. But if we don't know Krishna, it's all big zero. Krishna is number one factor. So we have to put that one in the center of our life. Krishna is everything. And without knowing Krishna, whatever else knowledge we have, it becomes useless, temporary. So we want transcendental knowledge which will promote us to the spiritual world. So this transcendental knowledge is given to us every day. But Srila Prabhupada has left us so many volumes, 80 volumes of books for us to read. He wanted us to study those books. He said, you study these books, you become convinced, you go and preach to other people about this transcendental knowledge. Because at the moment of death, when death comes, who will save us? I don't know if you have been in a death-life situation, but I've been a few times. The moment when you are very close to death, your whole life comes like a film, very fast. Comes in your mind in a few seconds, you can see everything, what you have done. So similarly, if we don't engage in Krishna service, in the end of our life, what will be? We remember our building, we remember our wife and children, our motorcycle, our car, our bank balance. Is that what we want? No, we want to remember Krishna and Krishna's only name and his beautiful pastimes. So all the acharyas, all the great alwars, all the great stalwart devotees, they all came and propagate this knowledge for us. They clear our path back home, back to Godhead. So it is not difficult, it is not impossible. We simply have to be sincere and serious about performing devotional service. Now, when I say serious, doesn't mean we go, I'm serious devotee, I don't smile. No, no. Serious means we're serious with ourselves, following the sadhana bhakti. From sadhana bhakti, we go to raganuga bhakti. But let's perform properly this process of sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is a prescribed duty. They are customized for each person, for each ashram. So everything is written there for us, how to do it, what to do it, when to do it. Everything is described. So if we simply follow this process, to follow this process, you need some discipline. Disciple means discipline. We follow the instruction of superior, of the spiritual master, because they know they're teaching us how to perform this devotional service. And so, if we are able to remain Krishna consciousness. Now, another point I want to say, this morning I had a realization, just like sometime, even while we are trying to be Krishna conscious, we carry with us a small bag of Maya, you know, something inside is there. Just like if you do scuba diving, you have nice oxygen bottles with a mouth. You breathe nice oxygen, so you can go underwater for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. You can breathe very nicely. If you try, you can even breathe better than outside, because that oxygen is very nicely balanced. So, like we go inside the ocean, we cannot stay there for a long time, but if we carry oxygen bottle, we can stay for a long time. So similarly, we can be Krishna conscious, but we can carry a bag of Maya, which is hidden there somewhere, in whatever form. Each one has some form of Maya. So that Maya has to be removed. Unless we become completely clear from all Maya, from all illusions. And there are different grades of illusion. We can think we are great devotee, we can think we are great scholar, we can think we are great pandit, we claim we are great this, great that. We are not great anything. Maya is so powerful, can just cut off anytime she wants. Unless we surrender to the feet of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, Maya can capture us anytime. We see Lord Brahma, who is the creator of this entire universe. How powerful is Brahma compared to us? His life, it's unlimited. I mean, he also dies. But at least one day of Brahma is how many? One kalpa. 4,200,000 years, just half day of Lord Brahma, something like that, very long. So Maya is so powerful that Brahma one day became bewildered. Not one day, many times he became bewildered. But one bewildered is that he saw his beautiful daughter and he chasing his daughter. He became bewildered. Another time he saw Krishna playing in Vrindavan, he thought, who is this small boy? And he stole all the cow and the calves. And the coward boy. So if Brahma can become illusion, Indra, he was cursed to become a pig. And when Brahma come and release him, he said, no. I'm having my nice stool. I'm eating every day. It's so nice, hot. I have my nice family, my nice children. I don't want to go anywhere. I'm so happy here. But come on, you're a pig, you're a hog. So what? I'm happy. So much so that Brahma has to cut him and take his soul back. So who are we, you know, in comparison to this great personality? We are not even a speck of dust confront to them. So unless we take shelter of the acharyas, of the spiritual masters, of the Vaishnavas, of the holy name, it is very, very difficult for us to remain Krishna consciousness. We cannot remain Krishna consciousness on our own strength, on our own sadhana. No. We are Kripa Bhakta. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of the Goswami, by the mercy of the Acharyas, we are able to maintain Krishna consciousness. And I'd like to conclude with a small, nice quote by Srila Prabhupada, where he says, I pray to Krishna that you all use your intelligence for Krishna's service, not for any personal ambition. We have worked very hard and established a great institution. But if we think for our personal benefit, then it will become ruin. This is my only concern. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki! thank you very much for listening. I'll finish, I'll leave in a few minutes for some questions. Otherwise, we'll move on. If you have any, there are many other great devotees here who can help us to understand deeply. Yes, Prabhuji, there's a microphone here somewhere.
Hare Krishna, this Ajamil verse says that even a murderer of a Brahmana, he is protected by the Lord. So, but in our society, we are seeing that sometimes devotees committing Vaishnava Prad, and that is not even murder. They must have done something, you know, in the course of the devotional life. So, and then they are suffering, you know, they are away from the devotees, not practicing bhakti so properly. So we know, even I understand that the Lord is very merciful and so on. So, but how do we understand that these devotees are suffering, although they have rendered so much devotional service, you know, and then suddenly they are away from the association of devotees?
Yeah, very nice question. The thing is that we have to make distinction. There's difference between sin and aparadha. See, when the Bhagavatam described, these are all sins. People may be sinful, but for somebody who commit Vaishnava aparadha, and then the persons, you know, lose the test of devotional service, lose the association of devotees, and it goes back to where it started. You know, let's say I was a hippie, I became Krishna conscious for 35 years, I blooped, I'm gone, I go back to become a hippie again. Wherever I left material connection, that connection will be reestablished. Now, what happened is that the Lord never becomes happy with somebody who offends his devotees. Trinadapi sunichana tarorapi sahishnana amanina amanida kirtaniya sada hari. So one should be very humble and very tolerant. In that frame of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord. So it comes back to the point is that we become puffed up and we think, I am a great devotee, I know better than everybody, who is this guy? And we start to chastise, or maybe start to blast him, we become offensive. Yeah, maybe the person is wrong, but do we have the right, do we have the position to go and chastise anybody? Or to become offensive? See, offensive means also we can take away service from people. So the person lose opportunity to perform devotional service. There are so many different types of offenses. But the greatest offense is, the mad elephant offense is Vaishnava aparadha. So the only way to atone himself, the person, is to go and ask forgiveness to the person he has committed offenses. Take the dust from the lotus feet of that person. Now, maybe the person does not accept any offense. Try to understand. You offend somebody, it's new bhakta, it's Mr. Blow Joe, nobody. But you offended him. But because that person is taken sincerely, the path of devotional service, he becomes very dear to Lord Krishna. So unless we go and apologize to that devotee, it doesn't matter if it's a new bhakta, and we take the dust from the lotus feet of that devotee, Krishna will not forgive us. Because Krishna said, you can offend me as much as you want, it doesn't affect me. But the moment you offend my devotee, he becomes very, very upset. So the point is that we must maintain that humble attitude as a servant. Even this is very difficult sometimes when you have a position of management or manager. Sometimes you have to go and tell Susani, I say, please move out from here, you cannot be here, this, that. But there is a way of doing that. You can tell very nicely in a very humble mood. And you can say this, I'm a messenger from the management, they're requesting you to please move out of this place. Or you can be very arrogant and then blast the guy where you get lost. And then Krishna become offended. So we must be very, very careful. We have seen this in last so many years, in the last 20, 30 years, so many devotees lost their position, exalted position of devotional service. Why? Because they thought themselves they're better than everybody else. So Maya can capture you in a subtle way. Okay, maybe you're a sannyasi, you can be, you know, controlling your mind and senses, but the moment you start to think that everybody has to worship you, everybody has to offer you respect, you don't have to offer respect to anybody else, that's also one type of Maya. So Maya can capture everybody. That's why I say everybody has a bag. So we have to take a torchlight and look inside the bag sometime. You know, for somebody it's a motorcycle, for somebody it's a beautiful girl, for the girls it's a beautiful boy, for somebody it's music, for somebody it's video, I don't know. Somebody's food, I don't know. But everybody has some type of Maya, which only we know. No one can come and tell you, hey, you're doing this, it's wrong. We have to analyze ourselves, be introspective, and find ourselves. What is the problem? Because once we remove from our consciousness this tendency to lord over material nature, to control others, to inflict pain to other living entity, then we cannot get pure bhakti. I hope this answered your question, but I can request Jani Niwas and Pankajang Prabhu to add something, or if any other devotee wants to add something. Does this answer your question? Thank you very much. Yes, Vasudev Prabhu.
Thank you. I liked a couple of stories you told. Of course, the famous story of the pujari and the prostitute. My understanding, tell me, you can correct me if that's not the right understanding, is that stories like this are very graphic, like the idea that the Brahman, the pujari, was constantly meditating on the prostitute, and the prostitute was constantly, so they would have had to be constantly meditating in that way. But we know in real life, you know, usually the pujari may sometimes think of the wrong thing while he's worshipping, and the prostitute may sometimes think of pious things. But here we're talking of, like you could say, a textbook story, a graphic story to make a point that you get what you meditate on. So I think this is a really good story for that. Now, at the other extreme, you told the story of the thief who came to the temple to steal. And the fact that he went back to Godhead just because he happened to be feeling the crack at the entrance, that also is like really extreme graphic, a type of story, textbook story. At least that is my understanding. And if it wasn't, then please explain why this thief would go back to Godhead, since his mood, because you spent some time explaining that it all depends on the mood, on the devotion, not so much the deed itself. So certainly the thief didn't think of devotional service when he was entering the temple with his muddy shoes.
Well, this is the scriptures, and this is the story of the scripture. The scripture are full of these stories, obviously to encourage us towards devotional service, and to understand how the Lord is so merciful. It's just like if somebody has been awarded, you know, doctorship, like, you know, the president of India has been awarded from the university, he's a doctor, because, hey, just because he has a position, so they've given a special boon to this person that he's not a doctor, but because of his position, they gave him doctorship. But somebody has to go and study through university, has to go through the whole system and become a doctor, struggle and memorize so many things. So similarly, the Lord may be pleased with somebody and is able to award him liberation. And of course, these stories are for the general public, for people to understand how the Lord can be so merciful, that even if we chant once the holy name of the Lord, he says that in this lifetime you cannot commit so many sins to cover that power of the chanting of the holy name. So these are all extreme stories. But for us who are practicing devotional service, we should follow in the footstep of the Acharyas. They are giving us a gradual elevation process by which we become purified. Now, we read a slogan from the Bhagavad Gita that Yam Yam Bhavi Piras Maram Bhavan Tajadante Kalevaram. So whatever consciousness we have at the moment of death, that state we will attain without fail. But the Lord sometimes can be very merciful in order to teach the jivas certain things. He goes out of his way and he gives special boon. Now, not necessarily everybody can get the special boon. Ordinary people can get, you know, the process of devotional service, the chanting of the holy name. This is the Yuga Dharma. So we must perform devotional service very sincerely. And don't take for granted, okay, the Lord is so merciful, so I can be a rascal. It doesn't matter what I do. I don't think that's a proper attitude. For us, being devotee, you know, we think, let us become the servant of the servant of the servant, and let us remain in the humble mood and perform sadhana bhakti. So, the stories are there to attract also the living entity on the path of devotional service. So, all the Puranas and all the scriptures are there to elucidate, to attract people towards Krishna. So Krishna comes and he, you know, in so many different ways, he attracts different type of people. I don't know if this is able to answer your question, but there are extreme stories in the scriptures, it's full of extreme stories. But for our perspective is that we have accepted the instruction of the spiritual master, we're following this path in this lifetime, and if you follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction, say in this lifetime, by chanting 16 rounds, by following the four regulated principle, by remembering Krishna, performing devotional service, we'll go back home, back to God. There's no doubt. I mean, I have no doubt about this. I hope this is satisfying your query.
Thanks for Hare answering. Krishna.
Yes, Gita Nagari Prabhu. That is in the Vishnu Purana.
Vishnu Purana.
Yes.
This is wondering.
Sure, no problem. There are a lot of stories, lots of stories. Okay, we'll close here. We'll go to take prasadam. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.